July the 29th, 2020. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Murad Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. As-salamu alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this first hour, Elihu Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the tafsir of Imam Warfi bin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. And from 8 to 9, our beloved sister Michelle Muhammad will be discussing cooklovelivehealthy.com. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blocktalkradio.com archives and you'll be able to listen to the talks that you have missed. So once again, we will open with a short dua and then we will continue where we left off last Thursday. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihi al-kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. Oil refers to knowledge. The oil itself, without fire to it, appears to have light. The oil itself appears to have light. So here oil is referring to the knowledge. This is knowledge. The knowledge is oil. And that clear liquid is inflammable. It burns a clean burning, not a lot of black smoke, dust, choking stuff. Clean burning. Oil burns clean. No impurities. The oil is transparent. You can't look through the tree. You can't look through the olive. But the oil is transparent. So which means that it admits understanding. It admits vision, perception. Oil being clear means that God revealed it will show up other things. So if I put olives in a cup of olive oil, I can see the olives in the olive oil. And then if there is darkness and a light, the olives, the light will show me what is in the dark. Is that right? So the oil has the power to show what is in it. If it is not pure, not right, or if it has matter, gross matter, it will show up in the oil. Gross matter will show up in the oil. But the oil also has the ability to give off light. So if there is darkness, the light, the oil has the ability, the power to give off light and show us what is hidden by darkness. So this is the way that God light is. The purity of light is seen in the very essence of the knowledge itself. Pure knowledge doesn't show us trees, fruit, the mite, 175-pound man, blue garment, a red sheet, a white sheet. True knowledge doesn't show us that. Surface knowledge shows us that. True knowledge shows us the essence of truth. The essence of truth, true knowledge, strips gross matter, grossness, and shows us our universal light or one universal knowledge. So matter, energy. So this matter, what is it? What is the fruit? The fruit is matter that is formed because of certain activities, growth, and the matter is composed of certain particles, small particles, and certain charges. So when we begin to strip this fruit down, eventually we'll make this fruit transparent. Eventually, we will make that fruit transparent. So we will reduce that fruit to what? Energy. And energy is invisible. isn't it? So what is matter? Matter is energy, energy you can not see. So if we reduce matter down to its finest or lowest denominator, or lowest state, or pure state, we won't have gross matter anymore. We'll have energy. So God light is like transparent, means that God's light holds the knowledge for understanding the gross matter. So with God's knowledge, you can understand the gross matter. You can remove the veil of the proof and see its essence of transparency. You can remove the veil of a 175-pound man and see his essence or transparency. You can remove the veil of the glass matter, or gross matter, pardon me, and see its essence. Its essence is transparent. Fire is understanding. The fire is the understanding, the knowledge. We get out of the knowledge, and you can't get that without applying your intelligence. So when you apply your intelligence, then there is a friction, an activity between what you are studying, and that activity helps bring light to your own mind. Is that right? And the light that comes from the oil is not touching. The light is not touching the oil. The fire is not even touching the oil. There is a space between the oil and the fire. The fire there represents the activity in the human mind. The activity in the human cannot touch God's revealed truth, meaning you can influence it with your own thinking. Your thinking will not influence it. You cannot come in touch with it. You must get it from a distance. There must be a space that keeps you out of the influencing that knowledge, and that space that keeps you out from influencing that knowledge keeps the knowledge right and keeps you right. It keeps you human and keeps the knowledge divine. But some people want to be in the fire. They don't want to get the light from the fire. They want to become the fire. That's not the way God did it. The oil, the essence of truth, it will give us light if we apply our intelligence. Then there will come a flame. The flame is fed by the oil. The activity of our own intelligence is fed by what God has revealed. But our activity is not in direct contact with it. We must get it from a distance. So what is that distance? We may call it many things. But what distance represents in one word? Faith. Faith. Faith stands between us and what we are studying. And if you eliminate the faith, then you come into the fire. And baby, it will burn you up. But as long as you have faith in what has been revealed, you don't come into the fire to influence it. That is, pardon me, you don't come into the oil, not the fire. Correction. You don't bring your own intelligent activity into the oil to influence the oil. Your own activity is separated from the oil by a space of faith. The Quran, Surah 2, Ayat 79. Change scriptures. The disbelievers, they change the book. Those that don't have the right faith, they change the book. They change the oil, and the oil loses its original value. And then it can't produce the good flame for the world. Yes, this is the parable of God's light. So the niche itself also works to cast the light in the room to help spread throughout the room. The glass reflects the light, throw it out too. So here we have light that is receiving help to be spread evenly throughout the room. The niche helps, the glass helps, and the people as the niche receives it and they diffuses it outward. So that's the whole community. The whole society gets a bit of that light. The Quran, Surah 25, Ayah 6, Allah made night, day to follow each other. Quran, Surah 57, Ayah 28, double portion of mercy. 2 Kings 29, double portion of spirit. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he made the night and the day to follow each other in succession. That is the Quran. The expression darkness is quotation refers to concrete objects. In the long trial of history, many relying upon his intelligence while being under the fear and awe induced in him by objects in the universe. Many other figures in the composition of the world, including man himself, has been worshipped mistakenly as God. The same Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who created and create existence created the human brain, the human heart for his mercy, freedom from the dominance of the concrete world is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants for us. It is one of the two divine mercies given and promised to use in Holy Scripture. A second statement we are listening here is given in these words: Islam is freedom, justice, and equality. Emotion minds like leaf floating. The Quran, Surah 25, Ayah 23, deeds like floating dust. And we shall turn to whatever deeds they did in this life, and we shall make such deeds as floating dust scattered about. Your mind is like a floating leaf in the wind. Whatever pushes you emotionally decides where you will be. You come to this masjid and you get an emotional push, and it pushes you for a while, but as soon as you run into something else, another wind pushes you, and we find that you are far away from where you were when we left you, because you gave yourself to emotional forces, emotional influences. So you don't have any good rational sense. You don't have any rational concepts, any rational ideas. Hey, that's ruling in your life. You need a logic principle ruling in your life to survive in this world. No one cares about you but Allah. And if it wasn't for myself, giving myself completely to Allah, I wouldn't care about you. I would be just like you, caught in the wind of the influence in the society. Human life prospers with morals. Human life can't prosper without moral vision. If you want to be successful in the business world, don't you have to have some objects, some goals to reach for? Don't you have to have some business vision to be successful materially? To be successful in the business world, we are basically, by human description, we are moral beings, moral creatures. You can be as wrong as you want to be. That doesn't mean that that's your nature. Your nature is not to be wrong. Your nature is to be right. And you are going against the grain when you are being wrong. None of us can be angels, perfect, without any defects, without flaws, without any sins. Your imam sins. I sin. I commit sin. I'm not an angel. I am not a perfect being, but my path is not towards sin. My path is towards Allah. And when I sin, it is because I have a weakness, because of a mistake, because of a weakness, because of ignorance on my part. And because I am that way, Allah loves me, and He will hurt me. He will trip me up. He will let me know that I went wrong, because He knows I can be corrected. And when I know I've gone wrong, I say, oh, Allah, forgive me for that mistake. Forgive me for that ignorance. Forgive me for that sin. Forgive me for that selfishness on my part. Forgive me for that. Oh, Allah, I want to obey you. And Allah accepts the prayers of forgiveness no matter where it comes from. The greatest sinner on this earth, if he prays sincerely for forgiveness, Allah accepts that prayer. And then Allah gives you help. Give you help. I don't have the high credentials of the high class people of this world. That is the institutional credentials. I don't have any credentials from any institution. No great school has given me any credentials. Some people think I went to Al-Azhar, Egypt, to school. I never went there to school. I'm a product of your school. Your children go to Clara Muhammad School. That's the school I went to, except for an hour credit in English and a couple of courses about 6 hours and a couple of other courses about 6 hours and a couple of other courses. I have not schooling outside of this school. Simple facts of your life that if you understand them and respect them and live by them, you can be successful. Not only you, but this nation would hear what I'm saying. It could come back to its good senses. Morals can be right or filthy, coward to bad influences. So the more moral, truthful morals can be false morals, can be lies. It can be corruption. Morals are right and wrong. Morals are filthy and clean. Some people have filthy morals, others clean morals. Some have right morals, others corrupt morals. Though just the mere use of the word moral doesn't make a thing right. Morals is only a word that brings to mind right and wrong. The more morals, truthful your vision becomes. So the more secure life becomes for you, for us. So it is as simple as that. I want to repeat that because if you can remember these few words, you will have the essence of religious truth. The more moral, truthful your vision becomes, don't you know we like to blind ourselves? The reason why most of us can't see is because we don't want to see. And the reason why we don't want to see is because we are too much a victim of bad influences to give them up. In other words, we are weak. We have been beaten down by bad influences. We have been made a coward to bad influences. We have become a junkie to bad influences. So since we can't muster up enough strength to throw off bad influences, we want to justify carrying bad influences. The Quran, Surah 26, Ayah 7, God made everything in everything in noble paths. Culture, strongest element is true educational science. So inheriting the desert, the reference for Hagar and her children is we are not going to have any, and educating servant people inherited our culture. Go make your own. Go start your own culture. It's just like going to a desert. there's nothing born there yet. The desert has been used as a symbol for the absence of cultural development in our democracies. Culture is more than just entertainment, beautiful environments with flowers and stuff. The strongest element of culture, it is true educational science, because it is usually the science and education based in reality that improves the culture of a people. Take on new growth. You go up in the north, read this little sunlight. There is not much life up there, is it? You do not go there to find all of the beautiful flowers and the luxurious farmland that you find in the warmer zones. Up there in the poles, you expect to find the absence of that. And it is because of the sun. They get little sunlight up there, long periods of night, short periods of sunlight. Sunrise is like the birth of the sciences. So the birth of the sciences is like a sunrise. And in time, the sunlight flavors that area, produces just so many different kinds of growth. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, beautiful pairs and beautiful relationships, not just with each other, but a relationship, the content is community life for human beings. So in relationships to others, beautiful growth, politics included, they all support each other. The beauty in the physical environment supports the soul. So the spirit and the nature of the human soul, and it gives beauty to the landscape, the rich and poor like it, and the high up and the low people on the ground. Grassroot likes it. And it just forms relationships. And all of these contribute to our good social life as citizens. So the water that God addresses when he tells us how he started growth, everything had its beginning in water. And Genesis said, in the beginning, there was darkness, and the Spirit moved along the face of the water, and things started to happen, right? So what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, behind that a few centuries afterward, was tied right into that. But instead of saying in the beginning that was darkness and giving that same story, it said everything living had its beginning in water. So water is darkness, land is light. And then it gives seven levels of light in the Quran. And it says, and the water is darkness. Water is darkness. And land is light. It doesn't say that. I'm just carrying it further. You don't set a fire in the water. You set it on the land. So we say he is just blowing off steam. So when the water man and the fire man, fire producing, and the water producer, when they get together in a clash or in a debate, if that fire is built, that fire man is big enough, every time that water man throws something at him, it turns into steam, like a puff of moisture in the air, and it is gone. It disappears. You know the expression in the Bible, in the beginning there was the Word, and the Word took on flesh and dwelled in the life of man. That is not exactly the wording, but that is the message. Quran in and it are books in the upright position. Qiyama, the Quran in the highest evolution. The Quran is a book of previous books in their corrected form. But that is the way it is translated. But the word in the Quran is not corrected. not exactly, but you can arrive at that understanding from the language of the Quran. But what is the next word, Qiyama? It comes from the word, its root is to stand up. So the meaning is standing up correctly or reaching the standard position in its highest evolution or in its highest progression. So that is what the word Qiyama suggests to me. The book in the corrected form, or the book progressed to their intended progression. So they were not meant to stay, if they were not meant to stay there, it was meant for the Holy Spirit to inspire those people and guide them into further progression of understanding. So what God gave, what God gives in the Quran, highly glorified is He, is language to start that interest again, so it will continue its progression until it reaches the progress state that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends for that understanding of that language. In the beginning, there was the word, and you know the rest of it. I gave it just now, but you know it. We know it all by heart. So the Quran came back with the language, with Kung Fire Kung. The Quran, Surah 27, Ayat 1, Quran verses makes matters clear. Isaiah 11:6, a little child shall lead them. Interfaith, transparency. Quran is a book that comes clear, open, transparent. Scriptures, guidance, is locked up against a mind influenced by the world. Imam W. Dean Muhammad, the world stage is changing, you know, for help to mankind, and language says a lot that is being used in religious circles of educated religious people who are interested in coming together, whether they belong to the same religion or not, to address the problem for mankind. And looking to see, are we contributing to that problem? And religion has contributed to that problem. And religious leaders now are coming together. Those who know that and want to change, they are using such expressions as transparency. The secular world is also using that term, but the first time I heard it was years ago from religious leaders who were meeting to address the problem of society, the world, that religion might have contributed to. The transparency is not a new occupation for religious leaders, but it is a new term and not entirely new, because the Quran says this book is a book that comes clear and open, transparent. And I think the term politically stated, I think in Russia, when one of the Russian leaders said they wanted to promote one openness. And another term that has come as an expression in scriptural reading, it is now a popular expression amongst those religious people, leaders on the world stage, who want to see if we have had a role that contributes to this mess that we have in the world, if we have let. So to correct their mistakes, they're going to read scripture again. You can have a disposition that worlds give you, that words give you. As a Muslim, and you read the Quran, and all of God's precious jewels are locked, and you can't get them out. You can't reach them. No road for you to go and follow the find to find them. And it is the same for Christians. If their minds have been influenced and directed by the world, many of them can't find the precious teachings of Jesus Christ. They read the Bible and they read nothing but rituals and stuff. and they missed the precious direction that Jesus represented as a sign for man to reconcile his life again with nature as Adam did. He is the second Adam, Jesus Christ. Reconcile your life again with the nature created by God. And then you will find patterns for your thinking that will bring you to the great destination that God wants you to reach for your capacity and your potential inside of you. A virtual heaven on this earth, that is what God wants for us. Innocence says a child shall lead them. It won't be a child, it will be a grown-up, but it will be someone who is as innocent in his intent or in his design on the world. He will be an innocent as a child. So Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, said, if your child asks for bread, will you give them a stone? Will you give him a stone to break his teeth or something? He stoned that. Bread is supposed to educate because it begins with a seed, and you grind the seed into powder, and then you add to the powder water or whatever, and you end up baking it, and it comes out so delicious. But if you would take grass seed, it would not be so nice. So in the Bible, they even call the seed stone. So actually what Jesus Christ is saying, why do you give them unfinished teachings? Give them the teachings in the first or the raw stage that you get it in. Use your intelligence and break it down so they're understanding it and appreciate it and have pleasure tasting and digesting it. So that is what Jesus Christ was teaching them. And in the Quran it says, Muhammad the prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, has been missioned, taught by God, and he comes to you to do what? To teach you the book and the wisdom in Arabic. That is, at Arabic, it is al-kitabu wal-hikmun. Al-kitabu wal-hikmun. The wisdom means the logic for coming to or performing judgment, the logic that directs you the way you should go to from a judgment on a particular matter. It teaches you the book and the wisdom, and it says also to purify you. Because if you're not purified, if your mind is not cleansed, the pollution that the world put in your head is not taken out of it, you're not going to be able to read the book, not to speak of getting any wisdom. So I think we should dwell on this, the Bible, Scripture, and Quran. And they are given on different levels so that the person who is uninformed, uneducated, can get much to help his life, and life can be sufficiently taken care of by that which is formed of the ground level, first level. But it goes to the highest level, to the most advanced intellectual thinkers, and even the thinkers of the saintly people who have reached the highest levels of intelligent progression for the soul. So it is on all those levels what should be taken literally is do not lie, do not steal, do not cheat, do not deceive, do not be nasty, be decent, do not be stupid, be intelligent, etc. So that is the teachings in Scripture that should be taken just like it is. It needs no interpretation because common nature tells us how to receive it and practice it right if we have the decency to do so. So we are closing out this segment here, which I think we have more than one part. We do want to come back because I think we need to address this again. The focus is everything in existence, and everything in existence as one world, universe, and the universe is one verse. So that should tell us we should be able to read all of it, if as one and the same reading, or the one line, one statement, and the statement should say, God did this, not you. The Quran, Surah 28, Ayat 5, Allah gives us the land as inheritance. Allah says, my servant shall inherit the earth. So this has been said to people before you. They have gone up to the top of the world and have reached all over the globe and have enjoyed freedom and power. Allah speaks of the human design and associate his gifts of grace, goodness, and all such things for that person. Now, if you want to be foolish and let the wicked, deformed creatures have it all and deny yourself, that will be your problem. I'm a Muslim, and I say utilize resources. It's for me. Now, if they don't measure up better than I do, I say that I will have more legitimate claim on those bounties, material grace from Allah. And I'm going to move more aggressively to get my share, if I can get enough of you to hold on of the sinners in power or in trouble. We will be strong competition for Allah's creation-based resources. The Quran, Surah 28, Ayat 7 to 10, Moses in basket. Exodus 2, 3 to 7, Moses in basket. So Moses' basket equals Jews learned from Egyptians. So Moses was put in the river, and he was put in a basket. Is that right? And floated down the river to Egypt. Moses was a baby when he was put in that basket. Is that right? So Moses didn't know nothing when he was put in that basket. Okay, who taught Moses? It was Egypt. Egypt taught Moses. So Moses here, though Moses is a prophet, Moses in this story, in this allegory, is really the Jewish people. So they are telling us that they got on the river. River means that they had gotten into the spiritual order. So they got into the religious society, and it brought them to Egypt so that they would learn, get knowledge. Now the book says that Moses was put in the basket as a baby and floated down the river into Egypt land. Is that right? So what does this mean now? Who is Moses? Moses in this story has double meaning always. Scripture always have a double meaning. It is a snake with two tongues, snake with forked tongue. So when he speaks here and he speaks there too. All right, Moses was floating down the river into Egypt in a basket. What does that mean, Moses? In Moses, we have a picture of a whole Jacobite or Israelite society. And floating down the river means that we were not speaking in Jacob's tongue now. We were not mentally strong. We were a baby. Basket represents small material strength. So the basket represents the material strength. See, a basket is just a little bit of material. It is so light, you can float it on water, right? So the baby in the basket represents the development of that society. That society morally and spiritually was still a baby. That society and knowledge was still a baby. This is the history of the Jacobite people that is known now as Jews, and their society went down the river, meaning that they didn't go into Egypt as a material society or emotional pardoning as a material society or as an economic society or as a political order. They went into Egypt as a moral society. They went into Egypt as a moral move society. They went there riding the waters, meaning riding the strength of moral purity and moral power. So they went into Egypt like that. Jews come into Egypt started with Joseph's strong morals. Okay, can we find anything in the Bible or in the book to shine more light on this as to back this up? Yes. The Israelite or the Jacobite people themselves, they are not the same now, but I'm using their name in the same in this. They say that their coming into Egypt started with Joseph. Is that right? So with Joseph in Scripture, both Bible and the Holy Quran, is a strong moral body. Joseph was honest. Joseph was sincere. Joseph was clean in his morals. Pharaoh's wife couldn't seduce him to go with her. He wouldn't steal from Pharaoh. He was so honest and so truthful, so upright in his morals that Pharaoh put him over the treasures or over his storehouses. Is that right? All right. So this is how they got into Egypt. So this is how they began to grow. But as they got in there and became bigger in the social body, they became bigger in morals makeup. They became bigger in intellectual makeup. So they become more worldly wise, and they became bigger in material sense. As they grew in Egypt, Pharaoh began to fear their growth, so he decided to put them in chains, to put them in bondage. Now, we have the Moses story, and we don't know how to connect these things. But the Moses floated down. He is floating down while there were slaves already existing, according to the story. Is that right? But don't let this confuse you. Moses is before slavery. Moses goes there, then slavery starts. So the Jacobite people goes to Egypt and slavery comes after the society fears their presence. So they made them slaves while they were yet weak. They hadn't developed strong enough to be a threat, but they saw a threat developing, so they enslaved those people. And after enslaving them, they continued to rule. Why? Because they had gotten hold of some knowledge from the Egyptians. And the Egyptians' knowledge, they added to with their knowledge from the Egyptians. And the Egyptians' knowledge, they added to with their knowledge. And it made them even wiser than the Egyptians. Creation shapes of man, Jews, from jinn. So what was their knowledge? Their knowledge was the knowledge of the man. They came with an idea of the world as a man. They saw the whole world in the image of a man. Right now, these concepts of creation still exist. There are people in Asia and other parts of the world that still believe. In fact, Christians themselves, often they still say that the whole creation physical world is in the shape of a man. So they had this concept and they believed that man and creation are really the same. The man is created in a small model. The big model is the whole physical world. The small model is the man. And just as the forces of creation are moving in the world to create life and power, the forces in the small model are moving to create a ruler for the world as a likeness of God. So where did they get this idea from? Before they themselves, that is the Hebrew people, the so-called Hebrew people, before they were even called Hebrews, took this idea. They got it from what is called the Jinn. So the Jinn of Asia, the Jinn believed, and also that the whole creation was in the form of a man, and that it turned as a wheel. It was turning as a wheel. So when the head got upside down, the world was in bad shape, and the world had to wait until the head come back up to get in good shape. And they believed that when the head started turning upright, if the forces of intelligence and spirit work hard, the soul of this creation and the man can escape and go out of the head and escape this cycle, gain freedom from this cycle. So this was their idea. Now, God has gradually raised the society or evolved the religious development. We shouldn't thought at that. That was a step forward. The baby has to be raised up, reared up. So the man of six blind tried to identify elephants. All right. So the Hebrews brought this idea of they came from the same society, so they came with the same idea of creation in the form of a man. In the language of the Jinn, they had a saying that goes like this. It says that there was six blind boys or men, six blind men, and they all tried to identify an elephant. None of them knew anything about an elephant, had ever seen an elephant, or had any knowledge of an elephant. Say one of the six of them grabbed the leg of the elephant and he tried to identify what he was holding. He said, "This is a great pillar. You know, a pillar that holds up a great structure." Men of sect of six, limited to own rational knowledge. Say another one grabbed hold of the ear and he said, "This is a fan, a big fan." So the story is designed to say this, that man six means a man of sex, six. Again, the man who trusts his own intelligence and won't submit to God. The man of six who, rather than accept God independently in his own way, that man that has faith in nothing but his own rational mind and his own intelligence, he is inclined to be objective and limited in his vision. He will see something he thinks that he has seen the whole thing. See? So each of these six names, this particular mind tried to identify this elephant. And all of them failed. None of them could see the whole pit elephant. The Quran, Surah 29, Ayah 14. Noah lived 950 years. Genesis 9:29, Noah lived 950 years. Environments, materialism, poisoned their soul. Genesis tells you that Adam descended, they became the industrial people working in iron and other materials and builders, and they became very industrial grew and grew, and their environment that they created, just like the environment that man has created for us now. It can help you, but it also can set you back. The environment that they created caused them to give all the attention to material development. They point that materialism poisoned their souls, and they became so deformed by their own world that they created that God punished them with a great flood. And the flood took all but a few, Noah and his children. This is the Bible. So Noah, new generation, was the order of the spiritual. And from Noah came a new development, a new trend, a new world order from Noah. It was the order of the spiritual that followed behind the order of industry. So the Quran, Surah 29, Ayah 33, Lot's wife lagged behind unjust. Genesis 19:26, Lot's wife lagged behind. Pardon me. Lot's wife, pillar of salt. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made man from clay. Then clay means accepting to be corrected. That the nature of clay, it yields to be formed. If you don't accept to be correct, then you are like baked clay. The Quran, Surah 11, Ayat 82, punished with baked clay. So baked clay has to be broken. It can't be shaped. And IWD Muhammad would like to be punished with baked clay. Would you rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punish you with your own wrongdoings, with your evils, with your sins, and force you to become disciplined that way? Or would you rather he feed you moral and spiritual understanding and bring you into conformity? So rain means feed thirst for spiritual moral guidance. Rain means that he feeds your thirst for spiritual and moral guidance. They claim means punish because of sins make you rigid. So baked clay means that he punished you because of your sins and made you rigid. People giving themselves to sin, the more they give themselves to sin, the more rigid they become. They don't listen to nobody. Stiff in their disobedience, soon their form is fixed like that. And they can't be changed. Would you want to be punished with that, or would you like to have morals and spiritual instructions that give life and growth? The Quran, Surah 29, Ayah 33, Lot's wife lagged behind unjust. Genesis 19:26, let Lot's wife pillar of salt. But his Lot's wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Sin has a way of, it says, Lot's wife was turned to a pillar of salt because she disobeyed the instructions, was that she not look back so Sodom on Sodom and Gomorrah. For disobeying, she kept dwelling on sin that had been committed, and she became herself embittered like salt. It's bitter, and she became herself. So rigid in her own self-righteousness, rigid and stiff like a pillar of salt, because she reflected on sin of Sodom and Gomorrah and wasn't reflecting on God's deliverance. If she had been remembering God delivering them, then that would have made her lively and human. But thinking only on the evil of the past, she became embittered and rigid in her stiff, in her self-righteousness. So those who become like baked clay, they are sinning. Burn them. And more it burns them, it burns out the spirituality, morality. They become rigid like burnt clay. Who wants to dwell on sin all the time? Stop dwelling on sin. Dwell on the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Baked clay fell on this, on those who dwelled on sin. And on the sinners falls no boast. Don't think of clay raining down on you. Think of you being the baked clay yourself. Instead of teachings of the religion, the revelation, instead of it making you the human you should be because of wrong dispositions of your own mind, the same teaching that made others human, lively, makes you a rigid stone, dead to human senses, sentiments. They read the Quran sometime more than we do. They all the time reading it and revelation coming to them. But instead of making them morally and spiritually human, it makes them salty and bitter, self-righteous, and makes others like clay hard, rigid. They won't listen to anybody. You go to say something, you say it's right. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us clear. He wants us clay, pardon me, but he wants us the kind of clay for him. When he wants us to yield to correction, and when he wants us to become rigid against disobeying him. So there are times when we should be rigid clay, pottery clay, against influence from outside. But we have to be, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us soft clay. Before God, we are soft clay. But before the world that asks us to come away from God's guidance, we are rigid. We'd rather be destroyed than to yield. So the Quran, Surah 29, Ayah 33, Lot's wife lagged behind. Genesis 19:26, Lot's wife becomes a pillar of salt. Luke 14:34, salt lost its savor, what good is it? So depth of the water is the knowledge. Salt water is deep knowledge of human nature. Salt out of the water brings rigid a stone. Sensitivity people didn't want was salty water. What are they talking about? The Old Testament. The water of the human world had become too bitter for the masses of the people. Their sensitivity were distasteful. Did not have any appeal. The water that the people did not want was the salt water, the water of the ocean. So what is salt water? Salt water comes from the ocean, and it has depths. It is very deep. So what does this represent? It represents knowledge, education, and science of the human nature had to become dead. Dull thing for the people. It didn't have savor. If the salt lost its savor, what good is it? Didn't accept to be thrown out into the earth. But it's good for a long time. Sadaqallahu al-Azim, surely Allah speaks the truth. We thank New Africa Excellent Enterprise LLC, Miraj Speaks, for allowing us to come before you once again. And we thank you, may God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding as I greet you in the Arabic language. And we will continue this tomorrow, inshallah. It only means if it please God. Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you, and thank you for listening.